I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm on. When
hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Patreon on Thursday, or with ads unfortunately on Friday on the main feed. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you doing today on this Greek day, as a Scottish person would say?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Kenny. I mean, how are you doing? I mean, you've got a birthday coming up.
That feels hurtful. That doesn't feel like a friendly reminder.
Well, listen, you're still in your 30s. So you're still going to be in your 30s at the end of the week.
Well, the problem
next year that we're going to have to tea and sympathy. That's what I'm going to have to bring, isn't it?
I know. Well, that's and a gun. Because up until about halfway through being 38, I was still clinging on to mid 30s, even though it was chucking me out the door. And now it's late 30s. And, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, the good thing is I don't feel like I look it, which is good. I don't feel it. I mean, when you turned 40, did you feel 40 when you turned 40? I don't know how 40 would feel, but
40 didn't bother me in the slightest. 30 did. 30 was a big, big age, big milestone for me. And I don't know why, but 40 didn't bother me in the slightest. Neither did 50. So, you know, I'm 55 in October. So, you know, I just don't care anymore. It doesn't bother me at all.
Well, that's one of the good things is the, I mean, I guess also if you're happy, if you're content and stuff with what you're doing and your life and stuff, it's not that bad. I mean, it'll be fine.
There's so what you're saying, Kenny, are we heading for a career change? Is that what you're telling me?
What would I do? What would the other career be? You know, I mean, that's the, you know, in all seriousness, one of the things, and I'm sure you've had this at points, one of the things would be in someone who either runs your own business or does something in something like we do, you do have these kind of almost sleepless nights of like, what the fuck do I do if this doesn't work?
Yes.
Or like, because if this all ends tomorrow, where do I go? And I don't know, which hopefully will spur me on to make sure that I don't really have to ever think about it. But, you know, yeah. It does play in your mind. I think if it doesn't play in your mind, that's a one-way ticket to complacency, which...
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. You've got to, you know, keep yourself on your toes. You know, yes. You've got to be there and thinking of the, you know, the next thing you're going to do. So, you're right. Yeah, 2017 when that's it. I'm not doing wrestling anymore. Yes, very strange time, and quite a difficult time as well. And happily, I returned to the warm embrace of pro wrestling, which we're going to talk about now.
Yes, we are. We did mention, because obviously Ewan had messaged us on Patreon, one of our pledgers, and he had asked if we can talk about the Okada and Danielson match from Wrestle Kingdom this year. So we both had a chance to check it out. And yeah, what did you think of the match? And I guess in comparison to a couple of things, Okada of the last couple of years, and also the Forbidden Door match, which, at the time felt like it was a bit underwhelming
Yes.
compared to what we thought. I mean, who would have thought that Finn Martin would be praising the Ospreay match over an Okada and Danielson match? But that's what happened. What did you make to Okada and Danielson?
And what about that Osprey cover last month? What about
Yes.
that? I mean, I was there in the Sainsbury's and I took a picture of Inside the Ropes magazine, loads of other magazines, like rail magazines and football magazines. And that Osprey cover, I thought, beat them all.
It
Anyway, as far as Danielson and Okada goes, yeah, I felt this was better than the Forbidden Door match. We know that that was hampered by Danielson's injury. So, I mean, that was, it happened. And let's face it, the fact that he even finished the match was, I don't know whether he should be applauded for it or not. People can decide for themselves whether he should have been applauded or not. But it was
Yeah.
certainly a gutsy thing to do. Whether it was, I mean, it doesn't seem to have caused any long-term damage to Danielson. So, maybe, it was the right decision on the night. But this match here at the Tokyo Dome, yeah, I thought this was better than the Forbidden Door match. The only thing that let it down slightly was we obviously knew that Okada was going to win. That was the only slight thing holding it back from being more exciting and dramatic than it was. Would you agree with that, Kenny?
Yeah, no, I think that was obviously, it was fairly obvious that was what was going to happen. He was going to get his win back. It kind of reminded me a little bit. I mean, this is so much better than what I'm about to bring up. So please don't think that I'm trying to compare these two matches in quality,
No,
because
not Rock and Cena.
yeah, Rock and Cena too. We knew that, you knew exactly where I was going. You knew Cena was winning the sequel, right? You knew it. There was just no way other way. So, and you knew Hiro Okada and Danielson was going to win. Okada was going to beat Danielson, but at least with we knew that we were going to get a good match. And I mean, this seemed to be the one that people were talking about. I mean, because obviously Sanada and Naito in the main event didn't really
Yeah.
feel like a main event that people were talking about. So this almost felt like the. I know that Ospreay and Moxley were in the three-way with David Finlay as well. But I mean, Okada and Danielson seemed on paper to me to be the real kind of main event of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree
Um,
with that.
Yeah, I mean, they went over 20 minutes. Danielson had the eye patch on still, so of course he's selling that for all that it's worth. But I really enjoyed it. I thought the thing with Okada from the matches I've seen him before, he's got a very realistic style, which I like. I always like the build to the Rainmaker, and if he can get it, how much of it he can get. And I think Danielson's is a really good guy to play off that,
Yeah.
because he's also very realistic. So for me, as someone who sometimes struggles with move, 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 move. This was better for me because it was a lot more, they were, he's going for the lapel lock and then he's trying to get the ring. There was like more technical stuff to it that worked better for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's more of a texture to the match, more structure there. Everything about it was a classic New Japan main event, even though it wasn't the main event, but to many, as you just said, to many people, this felt like the main event. Danielson worked over Okada's right arm, which of course is the Rainmaker arm. Okada did a tombstone piledriver on the ring apron. Now, I don't like that at all. I don't like it when they do these moves on the ring apron like that. And yeah, okay, Danielson did sell it. But we see this too much, and it's like if you're going to do a move like that, it should be the finish to me. The ref actually jumped for joy when Okada hit the drop kick. So if you just go back and watch on again and watch the referee's reaction. So Danielson took the Rainmaker, countered with a crucifix, hit the Busaikon knee, didn't win it for Brian. He'd also hit that on the floor as well. Okada kept going for the Rainmaker, and Brian would either block it. At one point, he blocked it with a kick. And Okada's there selling the arm. Should just mention, actually, Brian has been working on the arm, and Okada's selling it throughout. It's not like what we often see in pro wrestling, where someone sells a limb or body part for like 20 seconds or even a minute and then just forgets all about it. This was for the entire match, which is the way it should be. You watch any movie fight scene, and that's what happens in a movie fight scene, or at least a good movie fight scene anyway. You know, that the usually the hero is selling that body part or that injury throughout that climactic fight scene in whatever movie it is. So, yeah, in the end, I kind of, you know, finally hit the Rainmaker for the 1-2-3. And afterwards, they both knelt and bowed to each other in the ring. And then Brian raised Okada's arm in victory. So it felt like the end of their series, didn't it? The two-match series they were going to have. And I thought this was a hell of a match. Yeah, I was really impressed.
I think it's worth checking out if you've not seen it. And I think it's, you know, it's one of Danielson's better matches in the last while. To me, a lot of the matches he's had in AEW have not really hit for me for the most part. So I think this was a return to form for Danielson. Yeah. So
it did take me a little while to get into it because that Continental Classic was total overkill on Danielson.
Yeah.
I mean, it was total overkill on everyone. And I was like, the end of that, it's like, I don't want to watch Bryan Danielson wrestle ever again after that Continental Classic. And I've got, you know, which just tells you all you need to know about what I thought about that tournament. And but I mean, this match, you know, did renew my interest in Danielson because it was very different to his AEW matches. And that's a good thing, as DDP might have said.
Anyway, lots to get into today, so let's try and go chronological. We obviously talked about the Netflix and Raw deal on Tuesday, but we also have The Rock being made a board member of TKO. He is getting like $30 million to be part of the board. He's now going to be a decision maker.
He's got ownership of his name again, so he can use his name in outside projects.
Yep, there's now no law, because I think before it used to be that WWE would get a cut or a percentage of whatever he makes by using The Rock name. So now he owns it outright, so he can do with it whatever he wants. I mean, it seems like a smart move for TKO to have someone like The Rock, who's such a big name and so likable. And you know, if you're doing deals and stuff, having him available is going to be a big help.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite something, wasn't it? Seeing him there at the stock exchange with Vince, who, you know, somehow hasn't been cancelled. How has Vince not been cancelled? How is it that he can still appear in public? Somehow he can.
Well, I think that what the reason is that they keep him only for these kind of events. You know, he's never out in a sort of, I mean, Vince has not been in an arena setting with WWE since, I think it was WrestleMania 38. Because obviously the big scandal broke in summer 2022.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, oh, he's going to turn up on SmackDown or something. And, you know, pretend that nothing's happened, but we've not seen him since. So, but the moustache is also gone, Finn. RIP Vince's moustache.
But the dye job, my God, the dye job. It's just brutal. What is he, 78? I think he's 79 in August. So, yeah, 78. It's like, you know, I'm 54 and I'm almost completely grey. So Vince, just accept it. It's over, mate.
Well, I think I said this to you on Tuesday. Maybe I said it off air, I don't know. I won't name and shame anybody we know. But like, the thing is, if you're going to do the whole dye job, you have to kind of dye it from your 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
So that it's never obvious. But you can't just like be going grey and have like brown hair and then all of a sudden your mid-70s go to jet black. Like, it's mad. But hey-ho.
Rock was there and, you know, he seemed delighted and people said, well, he's getting all these stock shares. He's not short of money. Rock doesn't need the money anymore. And it's like, obviously he hasn't needed money in probably 10 years. But I mean, this is a sweetener for him, isn't it? To get him on the team and he's going to be a big part of it. And I can't imagine he's going to be doing too much in terms of creative suggestions. He's just going to be involved in the big deals, isn't he?
Well,
he's going to probably chime in and make a comment, or you know, he's going to have to ask for his opinion maybe on whether it's a good idea or not.
Well, speaking of him only being involved in the big picture stuff and not in creative. So a report came out yesterday, published by Sports Illustrated. I don't know if you've seen this yet. It came out yesterday, and it's a guy called Justin Barrasso who has reported quite a lot of stuff, and he's very kind of in with WWE.
Yes, I'm
So,
aware of him. I've read a lot of his stuff. I think he's a very good writer, a very talented guy.
he has basically said, he has basically published a piece saying what the WrestleMania card is going to be. So I'm just going to read to you the big bits and I want to get your take on what you think. So he said that Roman Reigns will be facing The Rock, or all signs point to the WrestleMania being headlined by Roman Reigns and The Rock. Rock did say during one of his appearances on Tuesday that, you know, he's a long game guy and that he does want to face Roman Reigns. So that seems to be the plan. And then it also says that after a month of speculation that CM Punk would challenge Seth Rollins to the world title at WrestleMania, a new plan is in place. And Gunther is now the favorite to win the Royal Rumble and dethrone Rollins on the first night of WrestleMania.
Really? Wow.
And then it says here, where does this leave Cody Rhodes? Multiple sources close to WWE head of creative Paul Triple H Levesque have indicated that Rhodes will not headline this year's event, nor will he finish his story at WrestleMania. But there is still a new chapter to write, with a marquee matchup to be had against CM Punk. So he's saying CM Punk and Cody is the sort of heavily rumored match. He does kind of then talk about Damian Priest being in a difficult spot, and, you know, what do you do with him? You know, and then kind of explores some people he could face, like Orton, Styles, LA Knight, Finn Balor. Confirms the Rhea Ripley Becky Lynch match, and then
Okay.
said that, and then basically said that Bayley is a favorite to win the Women's Rumble, but. And to just kind of be fair, WrestleVotes on Twitter, who've also reported a lot of stuff in the past, what they responded to this story a few hours later was by saying, after speaking to a few of my own contacts, I believe the following: those three matches could absolutely happen in Philadelphia. However, the set in stone nature of the article is a little naive, I've been told. Sources also relayed that WWE is not happy with this report in general, especially labeling it as sources close to Triple H, as if
Yeah.
he'd be so open with this type of specific information.
I mean, those sources, it's probably now killed, shut down, and those sources have probably now like changed their phone numbers.
Yeah.
I mean,
But
that was, yeah, very naive. And yeah, I was just saying a moment ago that he's a very talented writer, very talented guy. And yeah, that was, yeah, rather foolish of him, I think, to go out with that information. That
yeah,
could
I
have
mean,
for him in future, could have
he's.
really. Things more difficult for himself in terms of getting scoops.
Yeah, I mean, he's done this before. He's put out pieces like this before. I think he put one out last year at WrestleMania. He has done it before. So the thing I find strange is he's clearly a clever guy. I've spoke to him before. I know, you know, you've read his stuff before. So I just can't see why he would put something out there that's not the case, or that
Yeah.
there. So something is kind of fishy. But what?
Unless, Kenny, unless this is, there's some red herrings in there.
Yes,
They
unless.
like to do that, don't they? They like to
Yeah.
do that, WWE. They like to just, well, we'll say this is going to happen. So, you know, to amplify the surprise when something else happens.
I mean, if you're Justin Barrasso at that point, you've got to kind of be, if that is the case, you've got to be a bit annoyed that you've kind of put your neck out in the line to say all this stuff. And then, because if this stuff doesn't happen, then he's kind of put himself out there saying, this is here's the card.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, if you've been doing this for a while, it's like you know things ch do change. You know, events happen, injuries occur, and plans change, and that's just the way it is. And certainly during the Vince era, that happened all the time. We know
Yeah.
it did, and it still happens now. And they like to surprise people, and I think that's good. So
Well, I was
some.
going to ask you though about in terms. So say for example, the card that he is suggesting is the favorite does happen. So say
Yeah.
it's Rock and Roman, it's Seth and Gunther, it's Cody and Punk. It does feel like no matter what way you go, somebody is going to get shafted. You know, somebody's not going to get a big spot on the card. So, I mean, in terms of if they do go down this route and they do Seth and Gunther and he wins the title and they do Cody and Punk, does that sort of satisfy you as a viewer that those, that, you know, for Cody having Punk instead, does it satisfy you for Punk's match if they are going down the Rock and Roman route? What do you think of that, those three top matches, if that is the way they go?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't think I would really be that satisfied with it, because why are we pitting Gunther as IC champ against Seth Rollins, who's world champ? Okay, we saw that in 1990 with Warrior and Hogan. But I think most of us want to see Gunther versus Lesnar. And you could say, well, once Gunther's champ, then he can face Lesnar. And that could still happen, of course. And yeah, you've got to look at the big picture and the long game. And, you know, this is not, obviously, WrestleMania is supposed to be the end of each year's booking calendar. But everything, as we know, it's 52-week-a-year operation is WWE. So sometimes you can't say, well, we need this now. You know, we can't have that immediate gratification. We've got to spread it out because, as I said, it's a year-round operation. But I don't know whether Cody and CM Punk really feels big enough to me. And, you know, the whole Cody thing and finishing his story, and we've talked about this a lot, and I just feel like that's second best. That's not what we want, which is Rhodes beating Reigns. Because if Rock faces Reigns, and all the signs are that he will, Rock, I can't see Rock winning, because is he going to be sticking around and going on the road? Is he going to be wrestling in Kalamazoo, Michigan? No, of course he's not.
Is Rock going to be on SmackDown in Des Moines? I think so.
Well, exactly. Kalamazoo is in Michigan, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's only a 40-minute drive from where Sondra used to live.
No, what was it? Was it Battle Creek? The famous Shawn Michaels promo in 2005. Was it Battle Creek?
Battle Creek, yeah, it was Battle Creek.
That was the famous one. That was the one I meant to say.
But what I mean, to your point, though, if the you know, let's go on the basis they are going to do Rock and Roman, right? And I feel like acceptance has to happen soon, Finn, so that you don't despair. What should they do with Cody then if he's not facing Roman? What's the best sort of, you know, secondary thing they could do with him that you would be satisfied with?
I don't know. And the thing is, if you go back to look to and, you know, review what Rhodes and Punk said to each other in their segment on Monday in that confrontation on Raw, they were talking about winning the Rumble and getting the main event match at WrestleMania, weren't they? That was their shared goal. They both want to do that. So if they're instead wrestling each other, that's a letdown for both, in my opinion. I think it is.
Okay, because then, I mean, on Monday, when we were talking on Tuesday, we kind of assumed that they are one of those two guys is winning the Rumble.
Yes.
It's Punk or Cody. There's nobody else. I mean, but, you know, but if Gunther does get the Seth Rollins match and he beats him, and that's great for Gunther, you know, he'll get a big moment. But then, you know, somebody like Lesnar, if these three matches happen, what does Lesnar do? What does he do at WrestleMania?
Exactly. I mean, his WrestleMania last year was a waste of time, you know, against Omas, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it feels like no matter what they do, if they're doing Rock and Roman, somebody is left out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't... But, you know, just going back to Rock and Reigns. Uh-huh. So I can't imagine that Rock would win.
No.
But if he did, it's like that could be problematic, because so Rock's just swanned in. And he's the one who's ended this guy's epic reign. So what does that say about everyone else on the roster? Again, going back to the problems they had a decade ago during the part-timer era, or even more than a decade ago now, where it seemed like the people who just dropped in a few times a year were bigger stars and, you know, in the parameters of pro wrestling, better because they beat the bigger stars. So that's not healthy. That sends the wrong message about the rest of the locker room. But if, on the other hand, Reigns retains the belt again, I think there's going to be this huge collective groan, you know, from Philadelphia and living rooms worldwide. It's like, oh, no, so Reigns has retained the belt again. And maybe we won't see him until SummerSlam this time.
So, I mean, yeah, that also...
Sorry, Kenny, can I just finish this point? I don't see what purpose it serves for Reigns to continue to be champion after WrestleMania. People are ready for him to lose the belt this weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that we've talked ad nauseum about how stale the bloodline is. And if Roman was to retain, then is he going to just piss off for another 3 months and we're just going to have to be stuck with bloodline light again for a while? Like, yeah. It just doesn't seem that exciting. The other option is that what they might do is there'll be a Saudi pay-per-view in May, right? Or June. Do they not do... Yeah. They do two, don't they?
Yeah.
What's the one... Because Crown Jewel's the November one. What's the other one called again?
God,
I guess it changes, doesn't it? Because they did Chamber 1 year. They've done different things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Saudi offer a boat ton of money to Rock... You know, if Rock does beat Roman at WrestleMania and then drops it back to him in Saudi Arabia. But again, it's like, what does that do for anybody else? And the fact that Rock's now on the board, you would hope that now he would kind of be looking towards... I totally understand why they're going to do the match. It's a massive match. People have been talking about it for years. I don't disagree with the fact they're doing it because of the box office stuff. But if Rock's on the board, surely he has to be thinking about after he does that one match and... You know, is this 4 years?
Yeah, the effect on morale. What effect is this going to have on morale that he's just, you know, been given this, you know, top spot, all this cash? You know, is this going to annoy people in the locker room? And things seem pretty healthy there at the moment. But this is also the problem when you have too many stars. It's very hard to manage that. It's very hard to manage it. And WCW had this problem late 97, 98 with all these main eventers and not enough spots to go around for them. Yeah. And it inevitably, you know, it breeds resentment. But just regarding Cody, if Cody doesn't win the belt from Roman at WrestleMania, I think it's going to harm his reputation. People are going to think, when's this guy going to do it? You know, it's like we've been waiting 2 years. He blew it last year. You know, he didn't get the opportunity to become champ this year. Someone else, you know, this part-timer in his 50s swanned in. And he got the match. And I think this is going to cause a lot of damage to Cody Rhodes' reputation and drawing power and connection with the audience. And I think that's a big picture thing. You know, Rock's like, well, I'm all about the big picture. It's like, well, look at that. Look at all the time and resources that have gone into building Cody Rhodes into this top guy over the last near 2 years. And, you know, you're just taking his place.
Because you get Cody out there doing interviews. He did an interview with Bleacher Report where he basically said something along the lines of, I can't see Rock coming in and messing with a 2 year story. I said, well, that kind of seems exactly what he's going to be doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, and also because I was talking to Alex McCarthy about this last night on a podcast, and I did say to him, the reason I'm more apprehensive is because the Roman stuff has been quite dull for a while. And I'm just not convinced that if he retains, that it's going to, you know, say they want to keep it to SummerSlam and then Cody beats him at SummerSlam or something. Like, is there going to be enough juice in it until SummerSlam? I mean, I don't know. I mean, and then the other thing is, if they're going to do Rock and Roman, sorry, I think Punk and Cody probably is the biggest match for the two of them outside of that.
Yes, I agree with that.
But I do think, you know, surely they would main event night one and you'd have Rock and Roman main event night two. That to me would be the case, because I know there's the argument of Becky and Rhea should main event night one, but I think that you should have, and maybe, you know, they'll decide this need at the time, you should put on in the main event the hottest match.
Agreed.
And last year they weren't going to put Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens against the Usos on last. And they did because it was so hot. So, I mean, I guess... But then also, is CM Punk... Has he been promised this WrestleMania main event this year when he came back? Is he going to be annoyed that he's now not getting it? Like, there's a lot of, like you say, big personalities to kind of be looking at here.
Lots of things to juggle and lots of people to appease. And, last thing we want is another CM Punk blow-up. But, I mean... yeah, maybe like people think, well, there was such a great reaction to Cody versus CM Punk on Raw. But I think the real drama and the real heat is going to be in Punk versus Rollins. But I mean, it's up to them, isn't it? And it's a tricky one. But I mean, it's Rock who's complicating the whole thing. And I feel like we have been transported back to 2012, 2011, 2012 again. The part-time era, which, you know, was one of the reasons that wrestling went down in the early 2010s because of this reliance on part-timers. And there wasn't this belief in building up the full-timers. And we well, went over this many times at the time in the magazine. We've talked about it here on the podcast as well. Is that if your audience doesn't feel like your full-timers are on the same level as your part-timers, you're creating problems for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think that's just a very, you know, really dangerous territory to enter, because it's like, no, you're full-timers, you know, they're your bread and butter, and okay, bring in a part-timer, but that's to enhance things, not to take over.
Well, because that's the example, you could use the example of Steve Austin in 2022. He came back and he did main event WrestleMania, but he main evented it in like a vacuum thing with Kevin Owens. It wasn't
yes.
for the title. It didn't affect anybody else. It was just kind of, it was on its own. So,
and we knew that was a nostalgia match. That was pure nostalgia, and everyone loved it because it was a nostalgia match. If you're pitting Rock versus Roman Reigns, that's not a nostalgia match, really. I don't think it is.
No, I think the Triple H and his team are going to have a big job on their hands to, if they're doing this, to, you know, make sure these other top names like Punk and Cody are taken care of.
Yes.
And Seth, because, you know, things are really good right now, that things are really hot, and it does just take one thing that people don't like for things to change. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's like, and we'll not go into this disagreement that we always jokingly go into, but it's like, Steve Austin turned heel in 2001, people didn't like it. They didn't believe it, they didn't buy it, and, you know, things kind of fell off a cliff quite fast, and then it was like a snowball effect, because then the invasion happened, and that was a big disappointment. It just kept going. So, you know, you don't want to be repeating that kind of stuff. So, this will be a test, I guess, as well, for The Rock of, you know, put your money where your mouth is. If you had a big picture guy and you're now on this board for this company, do what you need to do to make sure that it's taken care of.
Yeah, and your first act shouldn't be to piss off the entire locker room.
Yeah, your first act should not be, I'm on the board, I want to headline WrestleMania. Two quick more things before we go. It's been announced by Vice the topics for the new season of Dark Side of the Ring, Season 5. I just want to read the topics to you and see if any of the topics pique your interest as you know, something for them to cover in this upcoming season. So they're going to be covering Chris Adams, Sensational Sherry, Bam Bam Terry Gordy, Black Saturday, Chris Colt, an indie wrestler from the 60s to the 80s, The Sandman, Earthquake, Harley Race, Buff Bagwell, and Brutus Beefcake. Are there any of those that you think are worthy of an episode that you would be interested in seeing?
Yes, certainly Harley Race. You know, I was a huge fan of his. And he was somebody, you know, when I first started watching wrestling, I didn't get it. I didn't realise how good he was. But it takes you a while to understand pro wrestling. It takes you a very long time to really understand pro wrestling. And he was somebody I more became a fan of retrospectively, not when I was, you know, 18 when I first discovered American wrestling. So I think Black Saturday, that's obviously a big story as well. I mean, Chris Adams, that's, I mean, I guess it's Dark Side of the Ring fodder, but it's quite a grim story, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not even quite a grim, very grim story. I can understand why they would want to go there because of how it ended. And yeah, he was somebody that a lot of people didn't like, but he had been a huge star, world class. You know, after the Freebirds left, Adams and Gino Hernandez, who's somebody that Dark Side of the Ring, they've done it. Did an item on him a while ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So Adams and Gino Hernandez, they were like the top heels in the territory in world class. So you can talk more about the Von Erichs. So, you know, I can understand why they're doing it. But I mean, also, Chris Adams has been dead now for, wow, when did he die? It was a very long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. Let me see when he died. Well, the interesting thing is in the trailer, they actually he died in 2001.
2001, that's what I thought it was. I was thinking, is it really that long ago? And it's like, yeah, 2001.
They actually they have as an interview, an interview subject on the episode, the guy who killed him.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay,
Which
it was
is,
his pal, wasn't it? They had a fight.
yeah, fighting a bar, and the guy thought that Chris was gonna kill him.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. Yeah. And I think it was ruled self-defense, I believe it was. I mean, Brutus Beefcake, I don't really think that's, I'm not sure if that's Dark Side of the Ring material. Do you think that's Dark Side of the Ring material, Kenny?
I mean, it's a stretch because I mean, I guess at this point, I mean, his career is pretty dire. So you could maybe that's how you. I mean, but when I interviewed Evan Husney, one of the creators of Dark Side of the Ring, he did say that one of the issues was like they do feel quite hampered by the name of the show because they didn't really want to call it Dark Side of the Ring. They were just that ended up being the name, and now it kind of everybody looks at it and goes, "Well, is that dark enough? Is that grim enough?" So
Yeah.
I guess this will be a test of, I mean, Earthquake in there. I guess the story is going to be his sad passing at age
Yeah.
42.
Yeah. I mean, he died so young, didn't he? Cancer. I mean, Terry Gordy, I think he was only maybe about 41 when he died, or 40. It might have even been younger than that. I think it was 2001 he died as well. So, I mean, he was never really a national star in the States. I mean, he had that run with Steve Williams in 92 in WCW when they were tag team champions. And he obviously did well for World Class as part of the Freebirds, but that's like, 82, 83, 84. I mean, that's like a lifetime ago. It was before you were even born, Kenny. So, I mean, he was obviously a huge star in Japan for all Japan. And, the way he died, well, he obviously took the massive drug overdose and suffered brain damage in 93. And he did return to the ring, but he wasn't the same because he damaged his brain and he couldn't remember things and he just didn't have those same instincts anymore for it. And then he ended up dying really quite young of a heart attack, I believe it was. Is that right? I think it was. I know it's 2001 when he died, so I remember covering it in Power Slam.
Yeah, I think you're
But I mean, I'm not sure how whether that's really going to have broad appeal. But maybe it doesn't matter because they've probably got the built-in audience who are familiar with the name, and you can talk about his glory days. And he started really young. I believe he started wrestling when he was could have been 13 or 14, and he was very young when he made his debut.
Was he not quite big in Japan really early on as well? Like when he was he not?
That's it. Yeah, he did stuff in Japan. Yeah, he was Steve Williams. He was huge. About the old Japan scene out there, major big deal. And but yeah, I think he had like a drug overdose, which he survived as in without any sort of damage to his brain. And it was a really close call, and old Japan was aware of what had happened, and they weren't willing to really push him. I think he'd been Triple Crown champion, and they managed to hush it up. And he came back to the ring and he actually was the same. There was no lasting damage from the original drug overdose. And then, he took the, I think it was August 93, took a load of somas on a flight over to Japan. And it was really bad. And he very nearly died. And yeah, he, suffered brain damage. It was really sad. But yeah, I mean, I suppose there's some decent, some there is some good topics there for sure, and it's unfortunately, yeah, the clue's in the title, Dark Side of the Ring. It can't be jolly, happy things, can it? You know,
No.
it's got a ominous tone to it. It's a tragedy is a huge part of that program, and so I can understand why they are covering Terry Gordy. I mean, Earthquake again. I mean, he was well liked, was Earthquake, and he had that good run with Hogan. I mean, his career apart from that was really mediocre. And at times, I'm sorry the guy's no longer with us, but at times the guy was diabolical in the ring. It was awful.
Are you saying that his run as Avalanche didn't float your boat?
Exactly. So, I mean, you don't say that about people who are no longer with us, but I mean, it was just embarrassing. A shark as well. Remember when a shark in the Dungeon of Doom? I mean, that was just like, you looked at it, you just cringed.
I mean, he did have the run as Golga with the medicine ball mask.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Let's not forget about that. So I mean, anyway, you could do it. You could do. Obviously, he did have that famous match, didn't he? That descended into a shoot fight. Well, nothing much happened, was it? I believe with Koji Katao.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, it's, I mean, when you hear about it and then you watch it, it's not as. It's a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, well, there's just like this standoff more than a shoot fight.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Not a whole lot happens, does it?
No, not a lot at all. But look, that's the topics. So, you know, that'll be coming out in March. So,
what do you make of it, Kenny?
I like it. I think there's. I'm looking forward to some of them. I think the Sherry one will be pretty good. You know, I think a lot of people. I think it's good because there'll be people that don't get talked about as much and maybe get forgotten, like Terry Gordy. And it'll be good for younger people to kind of know who they are. The Bagwell one, I mean, that's going to be pretty interesting to see, because I know he's obviously in it as well. I think, most of the ones, the only one I don't really get is Black Saturday, because I know, obviously, Vince took over the time slot, but, I mean, I guess that's their one, you know, they always do like an event episode. You know, they did like Collision in Korea, and they do these different ones. I guess Black Saturday's the one for this season, but yeah, the Black Saturday one's probably the only one that I'm not that interested in, but maybe the story's more interesting than I know, and there's more to it than meets the eye.
Yeah, I'd be interesting to see if they can shed any light on that, because so much has been written about that period. And is there anything new to say about it?
Yeah.
You know, really? And with them buying the time slot and, you know, Jack Briscoe in his autobiography, you know, he explained in quite a lot of detail, actually, what went down and how they managed to pull off this coup, sold the slot, and then they got, you know, jobs with Vince, and he retired shortly afterwards because he just had enough. I think also he made enough money that he just didn't want to do it anymore. That's it, I'm just retiring. You know, which is, let's face it, the dream for any wrestler. There was a lot of things went down then that they could possibly shed new light on. I actually really looking forward to that. That's the one I'm actually most looking forward to. That and the Harley Race one. Maybe the Harley Race one, I'm not really sure. It'd probably be quite a lot of gushing praise for him, and which I can understand.
His wife died in a car crash when he was like starting out in wrestling. Is that not one of the stories of him? So I'm sure that'll be.
Yeah, when we did the famous interview with him, it's in the Power Slam Interviews Volume 2, he talked in some depth about what had happened then, how he almost lost his leg, suffered a devastating leg injury in that accident, and they almost amputated his leg afterwards, which obviously would have been devastating. He would never have wrestled, it would have been devastating for his life. But the promoter he was working for basically found an excellent doctor or surgeon to take him to, and he saved his leg and he was able to return to the ring. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, he explained what happened there in that interview with PowerSlam in 2008.
So we will, you know, we'll probably watch some of them when they come out, and we'll have stuff to say if on some of them. But that's all the time we've got for today. We'll be back on Tuesday with more, which will be talking about the Royal Rumble. So why not on Monday? Because we always said we'd do Monday on the week after a pay-per-view. So we'll try and
do it. We'll be here on Monday, Kenny.
We'll be here on Monday to talk about the Rumble. So there'll be loads to talk about from that show. And yeah, I'm intrigued. I mean, there's something in my mind that says that when we record on Monday, there's going to be something unexpected to talk about.
Yes.
I don't have any knowledge of anything, but there's just something fishy in my mind that says that it's not just going to be as clear cut as we watch the show, Gunther wins the Rumble, and that's it. And then, you know, Triple H put an ominous tweet out last night saying, you know, what a week, and we're only halfway through. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll be here on Monday to break it all down and talk about all the big matches, the big angles, and all that sort of stuff. So,
absolutely, Kenny.
Inside Growth Magazine issue 41 is up for it's out today.
It'll be out today.
It's out today. It's just not arrived with me yet because my postman is shit.
I haven't received my copy either. Wasn't the Royal Mail on about only doing deliveries 3 days a week? I don't really follow news anymore, but apparently, was this something that they were wanting to do?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Every corner that can be cut is being tried to be cut now, so we'll
see. No wonder people aren't using the Royal Mail anymore. So it's just like you can't do that. I mean, it just ceased to exist. The service, I believe the Prime Minister said, no, you're not doing that. You've got to continue doing deliveries 6 days a week, I believe, but I don't really follow the news.
Yeah, there's a backlash over a plan for Royal Mail that could see letters landing on your mattress 3 days a week.
I mean, come on. I mean, no one would use the service
I know.
unless it was for like bills or some things that weren't important. Something that you actually wanted to get there, you'd just use an alternative method of postage, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully Insider Ropes magazines will be with you today, folks.
Yes. Yeah, but apparently the Prime Minister has said he's committed to 6 day of the week service. But we'll see. But
Yeah.
yeah, but the magazine should be arriving anytime now. And if you order it at insideropesmagazine.com, we will be able to get those out to you. But yeah, I want to thank you for all your support as always. You can go to Patreon and listen to more of us, patreon.com/insideropes. We started going through old issues of Power Slam, so we're going through some of the ones that will be in the next yearbook. So do come join us for that. We're recording the 2004 Royal Rumble review today, where I'm going to have to try and talk Sondra off a ledge because she already is hating 2004, and we're in January.
I mean, just wait till we get to May. I always
Oh.
remembered May 2004 as being a really low point. That was almost like, King of the Ring 95 type levels of,
Yeah.
despondency. So the worst is yet to come.
Oh God. But we'll be here to cover all of it, and yeah, we'll go through the misery for you. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
If I was sad tonight,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.